Hey there, cyclocross friends, and welcome to another episode of Crosshairs Radio. This is number 45, and on today's show, we have Kona rider Kerry Werner. This is a cool one because I talked to Kerry 2 weeks ago before Trek CXC Cup, and a lot of what we discussed, you know, his rise in the sport and his goals for this year, a lot of that has sort of come out to play in his favor. He had an awesome week just this past weekend at KMC, you know, being on the podium of a C1 race, coming in again high up there and fourth on day two, the C2 race at Thompson with a fourth place. So it was really neat to talk to him and hear what he wanted to do this year and to see that those goals are already being fulfilled to some respect, and it's going to be great to see what he does going forward. So Kerry Werner, it's cool to talk to him, and he's also a rider to watch if he is not on your radar already. Once again, this episode brought to you by the Itch Tour, by the traveling I was able to do and all the content that we gathered, still pushing some of that out. I believe it is still relevant, so check CXAirs.com. We're going to get a lot more photos, videos, and everything from that week at Trek CXC Cup and Vegas and Jingle Cross still to come. One of the big sponsors for that tour was Easton Cycling. I want to highlight them this week on this podcast and mainly talk about this crank that they just came out with, this new EC90 SL crank. This is cool with the rise of one-by systems in cyclocross. This is a direct mount one-by or even two-by crank system. So what you can do, you can go out, if you have a one-by system, you can pre-ride the course, you can figure out if it is the right chain ring size that you want, and if it's not, you can effortlessly change it. It's really easy. Get in there, change out your chain ring on the front, something that, you know, up until now seems ridiculous to do before a race, but easy to do now. You can do that, change it out, make sure you got the right gear ratio on there, and get back on the course and ride again. So that's a really cool stuff coming out from Easton, and you can check that and all their other products out at EastonCycling.com. Other than that, as always, please support us by going to WideAnglePodium.com. Become a member, check out all of the other shows on the network. Follow along with me on Instagram and on Twitter at CXHair. Starting to get some of these little video clips from the European races and other stuff up on Instagram. So it's a cool way to get your cyclocross fix without having to invest too much time. So follow me there. And finally, if you need to get in touch, feedback@cxhairs.com. That's all I got. Let's go talk to Kerry Werner.
Yeah, pull in a little closer. Just so I make sure that... I guarantee you, no matter how close I put that to you, I'm going to be louder. It's just the way it is. But we're just going to start.
All right.
So, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man.
And so we are sitting, where are we? Outside of a coffee shop in...
The Beans and Cream.
The Beans and Cream in, Sun Prairie?
Yep.
Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Trek CXC Cup next weekend, or this weekend, tomorrow. First, the C2 tomorrow, C1 on Sunday. I think that I first saw you Mountain Bike Nationals Bear Creek.
Yeah.
Probably 2012.
Yeah.
Is that the year you won? Was it U23?
Yeah, it was either that or 13, but yeah.
Yeah.
One of those years.
Yeah.
That was with the BMC, yeah, mountain bike team. That was kind of my first, like, big result, I guess.
Right. Yeah, no, I remember that. So where did we start before that as far as getting into bikes?
Oh, man, like, so I'm 25 now. My first mountain bike race was when I was 15. I cut my teeth at French Creek State Park. I don't know if you've ever been there.
I've heard of it, for sure.
So pretty rocky area there, and, like, me and my friend... I used his mom, and, like, he was on his dad's, and I was on his mom's, like, old Trek 4500, like, fully rigid.
Yeah.
First time I ever saw trigger shifters. And, like, all the Walmart bikes I had before that were all grip shift, you know? So we went to French Creek on these file tread, fully rigid mountain bikes, and just like got annihilated by all the rocks. It was miserable. I don't understand. We were in like gym shorts and had toe cage pedals.
We see everybody.
So
exactly.
Nyla,
she's good.
Nyla.
So from there.
Nyla, look.
It's Nyla. She came to visit us for a second.
I came out here thinking this was going to be like the quietest part that we could go and record. And it seems to be a pretty popular...
well, it was for the 5 minutes before we started.
Yeah, so we're going to just keep going. We'll leave all this in.
So anyway,
French Creek, fully rigid.
Yeah, so I mean, from there, get it, like, just being totally discouraged. It was just like, how can we make this better? So, like, he got a new bike, I got a new bike. Then we started racing and just kind of got way more into it. And I was affiliated with a local bike shop at the time, Shirk's Bike Shop, out in like near Ephrata. So they helped me out a lot at first. And then like the first real big trip I did was really weird. I went to World Champs out of nowhere. It was in 2008. It was Val di Sole, Italy.
Yeah.
And they held. So I did the Mid-Atlantic Super Series for mountain biking.
Sure.
And I needed to qualify for nationals just by basically doing a race. And so I had prom in high school. And I stayed out all night for prom and, like, got up at 5 in the morning, drove to my parents' house from wherever I was. And then from there, we went to the race, which was in Greenbrier, Maryland.
Yep. Yeah.
And
Maryland State Championship, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did that. Like, I got there, I was, like, totally wasted. And, like, got to the start line and, like, toeing the line with these dudes from, like, Colorado and, like, Idaho. Like, all these guys from out west came in. And I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, what are these dudes doing? And, like, I never knew. But... I don't know if it's just, like, the East Coast humidity and heat got to him or what, but, you know, I ended up winning, and they, like, I went up to the podium, and they called me up there, and they were like, and with a fresh automatic nomination for the World Championships, and I was like, I had no idea what the guy was talking about. And
amazing.
Yeah, so like I got down from the podium. I was like, "Hey, what are you talking about?" And he was like, "Well, you just qualified for Worlds by winning today." And I was like, "Really?"
So that's why everybody was there, because it was
it was a weird year when, well, it was an Olympic year. So
okay.
So qualification was, this was for junior. I might have been different for others, but like, they didn't have Worlds early that year,
okay,
which they normally do for right. qualifying. So this year, this race was just some random qualifier.
So listen to that, kids. That's the path to success. Stay up all night.
Yeah. So
and
then
get
like
to go to Worlds,
right? And then I went to Worlds, and then I just got like annihilated. Just totally destroyed.
That's a tough course. They just had downhill Worlds there this year, but that looks like a tough course.
Oh man, there, it's just like every climb is 15 or 20%, and the downhills were rocky and raw. Rob Squire had numerous bouts of stitches on that trip just from trying to ride some of the downhill sections. And like, man, I went there thinking like I was the shit, you know, like. I felt pretty fit,
because
I would just, I mean, not to be egotistical, but I would just kind of beat up on the local competition.
Sure, yeah.
And then I went over there, and I was like, man, it'd be cool to, like, you know, go to the front or whatever. I got called up, like, 80th, and I'm like, whatever, I can go through all these people, you know? And I got pulled, I think I only did 2 laps out of a 5-lap race or something like that. And I remember Mark Gullickson, the USA mountain bike director at the time, was like, he looked back on it. I mean, we have a pretty good relationship now. And he told me years later, he looked back on that moment as like, man, this kid has like zero potential. And he never told me that, obviously, right. But man, from that,
well, see, it's good now that he can tell you that,
yeah,
knowing that it's
yeah, exactly. But yeah, from that point on, it was just like it's been this like redemption thing for a while. Just like I've always, and then I got to go back quite a few times, and I mean, I kept getting better and better. But man, just like the level over there, that was a huge eye opener to me.
Well, just for me being over at those World Cups and never experiencing that, it's huge. I mean, just from the fans to the level to the setups. I mean, it's mountain biking is alive and well in Europe.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and it's got to be hard going over there, you know, seeing all the support that every team has, and then you're going over the USA Cycling, which is definitely on a much lesser level than that.
Yeah, I mean, so they do good for Worlds because it's Worlds, but I mean, like, to see that, like, these kids on these teams that you're just like it makes you feel like, where's all this support in America, you know?
Yeah.
Which, it was there, but 15 years ago, I guess.
Right, yeah. What do you think about mountain biking? What do you think about the future of mountain biking? Is it gonna come back?
Man, it's hard to say. Like, I think it's weird because over the last 2 or 3 years you saw this kind of push or pull away from the UCI, like 3 to 4K loops, you know, that like to make them spectator friendly or
right,
whatever.
Yeah, which is nice. I mean, it's, especially with like Red Bull TV when you get to the World Cup level and that kind of stuff, it makes it very spectator friendly and TV friendly.
Right. But in the States, like those courses, when they make them spectator friendly, are often pretty miserable. And nobody wants to do that when in the same weekend there's going to be a really cool 50-mile race on a really dope single track.
Yeah.
Like somewhere else.
So you think like more of the endurance and marathon type races are more popular just for your everyday guy wanting to go out there and race?
Yeah. I mean, I went to the Bear Creek, or not Bear Creek, Bear Mountain 2x12.
Yeah.
In West Virginia, and like there were more people there than there were at like one of the Colorado Springs US Cups I went to last year. And it was like, I mean, this is out in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia, you know? Like,
right.
But the trails were dope.
Yeah.
And they had a really good reputation, and just, I mean, it was sweet.
So big into mountain biking, winning that national championship as a U23 was huge. When does cyclocross come into the picture?
Yeah, so from mountain biking led me to like the world and everything and then it led me to college at Lees McRae. And when I was in college, I went there with this attitude like, oh, I can't do anything all winter because I've been training so hard like through the spring and summer, so I need to decompress. And like all my friends were like doing cyclocross, and I was like, well, nah, I don't need to do that. And like finally some upperclassmen pressured me into it, and I bought a bike off of one of them. It was like a complete piece of shit. But I bought a bike off of them, and I started riding it. And I quickly realized I needed a better one, so I got a better bike off of another upperclassman. But I went to some collegiate races, and I was like, man, this is actually pretty cool. And
yeah.
So that's kind of where I started, actually, with collegiate cross.
Let me just ask you about not even cyclocross, but just going to Lees McRae, going to basically what... I think you can, even though it's probably, I don't know what division it is, but it's like a Division I cycling school.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the top of the heap for cycling school. So you basically...
They do D2 in other sports.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, but the cycling,
right,
you know, that's one of the best in the country. What's that like, being in a program, in a cycling, you know, going to school basically to be a cyclist?
Right. So, I mean, like, For me, because through as a junior, like my team for mountain biking was just through a bike shop, as a lot of kids do, and then going to Lees McRae, it was like, well, all of a sudden, like you're getting taken to races, you have like nutrition being provided for you at races, you have your entry fees being paid, like somebody is telling you what to do, like you're on like a pro team, you know.
Yeah,
like you have a schedule and you're there to race and do well, and it's fun because everybody else is like, you know, it's not like super serious because you're in college.
Mm.
But the racing is serious, and so for me that was like my first kind of pro team experience. And
do you get like mentorship and coaching and that kind of, I mean, do you think that helped you having that experience for moving forward from there?
Yeah, well, I mean, it just allowed me to, like, continue to race and find success when, like, if I would have gone to school and just had to train all winter until the next mountain bike season or something like that. Because, like, the way collegiate works is right when you get there, that's when mountain bike season starts for collegiate.
Right.
So I could just kind of, like, ride my summer fitness into collegiate season and just like have a good time with it.
Yeah.
And that's what I think helped me grow the most, was just kind of like getting over this whole like, I don't know, like being super serious and like not branching out and just, I don't know.
So I interrupted you as you were getting into cyclocross from college. You upgraded to a little bit better bike and then.
Yeah. And then I got real pissed because like that first year that I got a better bike, I tried to go to Nationals. It was the first year they were in Bend. Not sure. The first year, but the first year of the two, I don't know, it was in, I guess,
2010, 2000, yeah. Somewhere around there? Yeah.
In that era.
Yeah.
But it was the first year, and this other kid on the team got to go only because he did more races than me, and I, like, completely killed him. In the race that I, the one or two races that I did do. So I was really pissed, and so then, like, I made it a point for the next year to go. And so I went the next year with the team, and, like,
Was that in Bend again? Or was
yeah.
It, okay, so, yeah.
And at this point, I wasn't really taking cross seriously. I was just doing it to have fun and keep riding my bike. So on the way to Bend from North Carolina, I took a bet. Me and a friend would do these bets where we would bet each other a pint of ice cream. So he bet me a pint of ice cream that I wouldn't wear my skin suit the whole travel trip from North Carolina to
to Oregon. To Bend. Oh my God, y'all drove too.
Yeah,
that's a drive.
No, we didn't drive.
Oh, okay.
We flew.
But
I mean, then I had to wear a skin suit in the airport. So.
Oh, amazing.
So I did that.
That's outstanding.
And like little side story here. That was actually the first time that me and my current girlfriend, Emily Shields, that was the first time she ever saw me. She was like also traveling to Bend to go to Nationals with her and her parents. And her parents were like, who is that dumbass over there in a skin suit? And little did they know that I would be the one here. So
that's good.
Anyway,
first impression. So how was it going through security?
Well, you know, there was nothing to hide. So I had that going for me.
They probably didn't want to pat you down.
So we got to Bend, and another little funny side story is right when we got there, my bags didn't show up.
Oh, so all you had was your skin suit?
Yeah. And we went to an Applebee's right when we got in.
This seems like you've put in more than the one pint worth of ice cream at this point.
Yeah, for sure. I tried to say that to my friend, but he was not budging. I mean,
deal's a deal.
It was comical.
Yeah.
So he did let me borrow a pair of boxers because my bags actually didn't come till the next morning. So, but anyway, we got that sussed out, and we did the race. And like I said, I wasn't taking cross seriously. So I brought this blonde wig, and I wore a blonde wig under my helmet for the race, and you know, it's like whatever. I was just trying to have fun with it, and it was like muddy and cold.
Yeah,
as
that
shit.
Was a nasty year.
I was loving it, and I was actually doing pretty well. I was in like tenth-ish. I didn't really know where I was because I started in the back
because
all the other better guys got a better call up. But I kept moving up through the field, and then all of a sudden I come through and the official pulled me, and I was like, "What are you doing? Like, what do you mean?" He's like, "You're pulled." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "You guys, you're lapped. You're lap dry. You're pulled." And I'm like, "So I didn't know. Like, I didn't really know where I was."
Yeah.
But I was like, "This is kind of weird." So I rode over to my coach in the pit.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Gary, what the hell are you doing?" And I was like, "They pulled me." And he was like, "What are you talking about? You were in like 10th place." And I was like, "Really? Like, I didn't know." And it kind of made me mad that I wore this like stupid wig, you know, because the official probably thought I was just some idiot.
Right, just like hanging out at the back. Yeah. Oh, that's awful.
So it sucked. I mean, luckily, so the team did still win the Cross Omnium that year.
Yeah.
They placed me in at 19th, which was bullshit. But, I guess it was kind of my fault.
Was it so muddy? Was it like your number all covered up and everything,
I guess,
too?
So.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how that worked. But so then, like, it was just like the year before, I was pissed because I didn't get to go to Nationals.
Right.
Now I got to Nationals, I got snubbed. So then the next year, it was like I was all in kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so then that was the year that I won my first collegiate title. That was the first year in Madison then.
Sure, right.
And then from there, like the next year, I ended up winning two. And then the third year in Boulder, I won two. So that was, and like throughout those 3 years of collegiate cross, I kind of like got way more serious about it.
Right.
And started doing like the UCI races I could drive to from North Carolina, like Louisville and Cincy and Hendersonville and Supercross New York, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of how, like, and then just having success at those races.
Yeah, so it was the futility in the beginning that got you pissed off about it, and then that got you more serious about the sport.
Yeah.
So where are you, so after college, where are you really in the split between mountain biking and cyclocross, is it?
So, like, even though I've been taking cross way more seriously every year, as I said, like, every year that I've been doing, like, I've still been racing mountain bikes every year, including last year. I was with Raleigh Clement last year, and we did a full mountain bike season, and then we rolled into cross season.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's how it's always been up until this year, where I was off the Raleigh Clement team at the end of the year, so I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna like waste resources and try to do a bunch of mountain bike races. I'm gonna like focus on getting a cross team together and really focus on cross.
Yeah.
So I kinda took the spring and the summer chill in terms of mountain bike races. I did Boston and Wyndham, and that was, other than that, it was just local stuff. And then I also did like Transylvania.
Oh, nice. Fun.
As a good base.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And like, I did the Pisgah stage race earlier than that. So that's kind of, I was just kind of building up into a cross season this year.
So where did you end up like pro CX wise last year?
So last year I was fourth in the overall, and then I was fifth at Nationals.
Right.
And
a lot of podiums in there, a lot of...
Actually, so it's kind of weird. It was, like, my worst C2 year thus far. In the past, I'd had, like, the past 2 years, I had at least two C2 wins. But then last year, my best C2 was a second place. And, I don't know, like, I just didn't have luck. Or, like, I had bad luck at those races, I guess. Like, I flatted some, or just... like, was tired from travel from other races. But I had my best C1 year, which was cool. I had, like, a bunch of 6th, 5th, and, like, 4th place at the C1s, which was
nice. Yeah, so definitely up there against the best in the country. So, and, yeah, I mean, if you don't want to talk about this, but what happens with Raleigh Clement, and why does that relationship end? And then, you know, what's the decision-making in really sort of doing your own thing this year?
Well, I mean, it's like nothing against them. It was simply a budgetary thing. Like,
yeah.
one of the title sponsors cut some funding, so they had to cut some riders, and like the direction that they went was having Jamie and Caroline on board as like the senior riders who were mentoring Lance and Laurel, who are showing a lot of potential. So I mean,
so you almost got stuck in the middle there between
which is, you know, that's how it is sometimes. And Don was really cool about it. He helped me out a lot. He actually helped me like throw in some words around for me in favor of me getting this Kona deal. So
yeah, and that's great that you have this Kona deal, but it's almost, you know, I'm assuming they're a bike sponsor probably to have some other stuff going on with them as well, but it's not like you're on a team. You're really out there on your own now, right?
Well, kind of. I mean, they stepped up pretty big for me this year.
Yeah?
I mean,
okay, great.
So they came to me in, like, early May, and they were just like, hey, what are your... Because, like, I had reached out to them, and, like I said, Don had mentioned me in there. So, like, what are your plans for Cross? And, like, do you have anything in mind in terms of what you want to do? And, like, do you have any sort of budget outline? So I told them, and, like, I had this really, really slim budget because I didn't know how involved they wanted to get.
Sure.
And it was, like, really low. Like, and it was just based on me, like, and basically just expenses.
Yeah.
Because at this point, I was just looking for anything. And then they were like, I said something like right around $10,000 to get me through the season, and with bikes and equipment and stuff. And they were just like, I want you to think bigger and come back to me. And I was just like, oh, this
well, that's
sweet.
Great. That, I mean, awesome. That actually, okay, good. Because I was, okay, that gives me a little hope. Because I look at riders like you, I look at riders, you know, some of the fastest riders in the country who can't really get on a team or get a full ride to race, and it disappoints me a little bit. So yeah. That's nice to hear that Kona was wanted to do that. So
yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, they stepped up huge for me, and then like I'm paying Doug Sumi, he's my mechanic this year, so it's him and I, and like we have a team vehicle. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a dope 1989 diesel.
Oh, I think I saw it on your website.
Oh, yeah.
A photo of that from Rochester. Was that where it debuted?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, this is... Yeah, it's nice. And this is, like, it's actually pretty nice. Like, Doug and I, we worked together last year on Raleigh Clement, and we're pretty similar people, so we get along really well. And going from... Not that... Like, the Raleigh team was, like, bad or anything last year, but there was just a lot going on all the time because there was, like, the Raleigh Clement riders, and then there was the Amy D riders. There was, like, six riders at most races under one compound. So, like, now it's just Doug and I, and it's pretty chill.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we do what we need to do, and it's kind of easy. It's kind of nice.
So what's the plan? Just straight domestic hit? Most all of the C1s and then C2s that you can? Are you doing any Europe trips?
Well, right now I have mostly just East Coast racing, and like I'm heading out doing this, then doing Vegas, the jingle, and then like all East Coast stuff pretty much. Louisville and Cincy. I think the only C1 we're not going to do is the Oklahoma one.
Okay.
Because it's like like traveling wise, it doesn't.
Yeah, that's like the second time today I've heard. That just logistically, that's a really tough race.
I mean, there's a bunch of C2s like surrounding that race on the East Coast, like the weekend before, after, and the same weekend. There's C2s, so it's like,
Well,
budget wise, I'd rather just.
I'm happy that we're one of those races you're going to be showing up for DCCX. So that's awesome. It'd be good to have you back there. Also, it's going to be fun. Really looking forward to Charm City being a C1 this year.
Yeah, I'm excited for that too.
Yeah. What do you think? You know, I'm just thinking about that course. It's got that big climb, and but also you with your background in mountain biking. What do you think your strengths are as far as cyclocross goes?
Well, actually, I wasn't bummed. I guess I kind of was, especially now that I know what the Rochester course was this year. But last year, I kind of excelled on the climb.
Yeah.
And in the heat, and that helped me. And this year, with it being so fast and, like, more kind of a tactical thing, I I don't know. I'm just not used to that kind of racing. Mm-hmm. And so I might have made some decisions I shouldn't have, and that kind of hurt me, maybe results-wise.
Yeah.
But I think, like, my strengths are courses like Jingle and Nationals. That Jingle and Nationals were probably my favorite courses.
Like the Asheville course?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite courses, like, by far ever.
So technical stuff, but big climbs also.
Yeah, just, like, a decent amount of elevation change. Not that it has to be, like, long climbs, mm-hmm. but just punchy stuff, and then, like, good technical descending and stuff where, like, you're always thinking about what's next.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting you were talking about it being hot, and I never really put it together about, you know, coming from a mountain bike. In cyclocross, it's such a big deal. The heat is always such a big deal. People are like, we're not used to racing in this much heat. You're coming from a discipline that's a summer discipline. You're always racing in that heat. Yeah. So it's probably something that you're more accustomed to doing.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Wyndham and Boston this year were, like, outrageously humid and just hot and, like, massive state of dehydration after the race. And, like, guys from Colorado would come in and race that and just suck because they couldn't handle it.
Yeah, that's what I heard, where it was almost, like, people taken to the hospital for heat stroke, and, that's just insane.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, you know, those poor Colorado people, every time they come to the East Coast, it seems, I remember that was the big thing about Bear Creek for Nationals those years.
Totally. They were
like, I think I heard the quote, there are too many rocks and roots out here, that's not mountain biking.
I'm sure you heard that a lot from the expert racers.
Yeah.
Because their course was even more gnarly than our race.
Yeah.
So,
cool, so... At this point, cyclocross more of the discipline. Do you feel like you're 25? Obviously you feel like there's still room to improve. What's the goal from here? I mean, you're like a top five rider in the country. So what's the goal? What's the progression?
Yeah, actually, this is a question that I think about quite a lot, and I talk with it quite a lot with my coach, Jim Lehman at CTS, and like. Like, it's hard because there's stuff that I'm doing now that I wish I would have been doing, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. But obviously you can't change the past. So it's like, from here, it's like this year, I kind of made this decision to go all in for cross. So it's like, that's one thing that I'm hoping will help me a lot as the season goes on. And it's just like, changing things up and like I added like a weightlifting program into the mix, and just, I don't know, it's just, I guess it's just little things that you can do. And the other thing that I kind of think about is, like, I have been racing cross, like, this is only my fourth year really of racing cross seriously, so it's like, I'm kind of hoping that, like, over these last couple years of racing, I've been getting better every year, and I'm hoping that it's just, like, an adaptation to this mm-hmm. kind of style of racing.
Do you feel like technique-wise you're still changing things and looking at things? Obviously, you come into the sport 4 years ago, maybe, you know, dismounting, remounting, all the stuff that we talk about. You're coming from a mountain bike, and you're probably just doing it on field. Do you feel like those are places that you can still improve? Just every type of cross technique out there.
Right. Well, the one thing that I also have been doing a lot more this year is trying to do, like, cross-course specific workouts. So, like, I'm trying to expose myself to, like, to more sand riding, because as a rider, I think I kind of suck at that. Like, especially when we get to Louisville and that, like undulating kind of long sand pit.
Right, yeah.
Every year I struggle in that. So, I've been trying to expose myself some more to some sand, which isn't easy, but that, and just, like, trying to put myself in these awkward situations, or awkward, I guess, like, technique things, like, just to make it more comfortable, make it more second nature.
Did you ever do any road racing?
No, I mean, like, just local stuff, not really.
Do you feel like that's something? That's always an interesting one to me, because you get guys like Powers who... basically gave it up so he could just do, you know, as he progressed in his career. And then you see other folks who, you know, sort of use that as a speed training, like for something like Rochester. You know, is that something that...
I mean, it's definitely... I've thought about it, and I've been, like, associated with the Optum and now this year the Rally team. I've been trying to get my foot in the door with, like, trying to do some road races here and there, but it's just such a, like, their talent is so deep and they go to such high-profile races that it's kind of hard for for Jonas, the director, to kind of, like, say, yeah, Gary, you don't race any road, come in here and, you know, try not to make an ass out of yourself.
Yeah, and I also just find it interesting because it's always... The mountain biking into cyclocross path as opposed to the road into cyclocross path, which seems at least used to be more of the way people went. And now I guess, you know, what we're going to see in the next 10 years is people who just, that's all they've ever raced. Who just grew up racing cyclocross.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting way to look at things later on. Because, I mean, right now, if you look at it, like, the top three guys in the country have all come from a road background.
Right.
Hyde and Powers and Driscoll. And so, and then like Tobin, he's stepping up and he's coming from a road background. So it's like, kind of got to wonder if that's the way to do it. But I don't know. I mean, at the same time, road racing isn't for everyone. So that could just as easily crack you and maybe not make you want to race bikes at all.
When you're in these races with those guys you just mentioned, with Powers and Hyde and Driscoll or Summerhill out there, and you're sticking with that front group, what's your mindset there? I mean, you were talking about Rochester. Are you thinking, I mean, you know all of their strengths at this point and you're trying to break through, so
so like that's actually something that I need to think about more, because Rochester, that on Saturday was terrible for me. I got like really bad heat, whatever, just I just sucked. So like Sunday I came into the race ready to redeem myself, and like I made the front group and everything, and I'm in the front group with three to go, and I get on the front, and like looking back now, I can say like that was a stupid idea, because like Hyde hadn't pulled it all yet,
right?
Powers wasn't on the front at all yet, like Summerhill was just starting to get on the front, so it's just like it's like I think I need to be like a more actively thinking racer. It's like, had I not gone on the front and, like, you know, burned a match and, like, attacked where I should have thought, like, that wasn't going to work anyway.
When that happens, when all of those guys are basically just watching each other, I figure the first couple laps have to be just all out. Does it actually slow down in those middle laps when it becomes strategic, when there's sort of that pull away from the rest of the field?
Yes, I mean, sometimes it totally depends on the course.
Yeah.
Because, like, a course like Rochester, it's like you go hard, really hard at the beginning to establish yourself and get in a decent position. And then you're kind of just, like, sitting there. And, I mean, like, for the first half or even more of the Rochester race, both days, but the Sunday especially, I mean, I would remember looking back in U-turns and it's just, like, strung out, like, 15 riders deep.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like, if Powers or Hyde or whoever wanted to get on the front and, like, just mash it, like, yeah, you could create that separation, but then it's like there's still going to be way more guys there than maybe should be on a... Because, like, of course, like, Jingle, those guys check out pretty quick.
Okay, sure.
And sometimes there's just nothing you can do because they're just that much more fit.
Yeah. No, that's a... It's a feeling I think I never experienced, just at a lower level of racing, where it's like, hey, I can just sit in here and cruise for a little bit without being in the red the whole time.
Yeah.
So that's that's gonna be nice. Cool. So we are, as we mentioned, we got a Trek CXC Cup this weekend. A little bit of rain today. You were out there on the course riding earlier. You rode here last year, right? Or no?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so how does it shape up? What do you think course-wise?
Well, I mean, it was sweet today.
Yeah.
They made course changes from last year. They put some more, like, Belgium-y technical sections in, like a lot of off camber stuff, which is sweet. And with the rain overnight and earlier this morning, it was there was like a real thin slick layer of mud on top, which was I would love to race in that tomorrow, but it doesn't seem like it's gonna rain.
It's good because by the time this gets up there, the race would have already happened, so we'll know what happened. But it's gonna be a whole different vibe tomorrow. I mean,
I know.
You got or this weekend at least. I mean, you know, we were talking before we started recording about who was gonna race and who wasn't gonna race because it's a you know you have your C2 race.
This
on
is like
Saturday.
The first time I've ever heard of this happening.
Yeah, it's like reversed, and then you have your C1 on Sunday. So, yeah, so it would be interesting to see if anybody takes a day off. But the guys that aren't, I mean, there's 25 guys from, like, Belgium and the Netherlands out there. That's got to be sort of cool.
Oh, man, it's I mean, like, so for a person like me who has never been to Europe to do cross racing, and, like, last year in Vegas was my first international field, I crashed early and, like, was basically just riding from the back from the beginning of the race.
Where did you crash in Vegas? Why don't I remember this?
After the barriers, there was a huge scrunch up, and it was
I do remember that. I think it was even like Powell's or Kloss or something that sort of caused this.
Me and Jeremy Dern ended up on top of each other
and sharing
like this intimate experience. But.
You know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Okay. Yeah, so anyway, just racing. So that was your first
So this is like
field.
a mini trip to Europe for me.
And yeah.
Especially because like all the guys here are the best guys. Like it's not just like pack fill in Europe. The world champs is going to be here.
Right.
So I mean, this is
it's this weekend also is sort of neat because not as much is on the line for them. It's not the world. You know, we'll all be on Wednesday in Vegas for the first World Cup. So it'll be really interesting to see how they handle this.
Yeah, maybe they gauge this effort as kind of just like not going all out and just.
I think it's going to be the opposite.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to try to crush everyone from the beginning. So it'll be sort of fun to get in there and
that'll be
mix
sweet.
It up.
That's what I want to do. I want to get in early and just, you know, try to see how long I can hang on.
Yeah.
If those guys are going to start throwing punches. And
especially with this field and just looking at the course, it is going to be, that start is going to be super fast because there's that first little off camber when you get onto the grass and then you go down. Yeah, it's like, it's going to string out from like 10 seconds into the race.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. I think we covered it.
Cool.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for talking.
Thanks for having me on.
All right.
All right. That was a great chat with Carrie. Thanks for joining us out on the backyard patio of that coffee shop. As you noticed in there, a little busier than we thought it'd be, but I think it turned out to be a great conversation nonetheless. Feedback@cxhairs.com. Hit us up there if you have any comments or concerns @cxhairs on Instagram and Twitter, and also wideanglepodium.com. We'll see you next time.